Well, this morning, for the first Sunday in the new church year, for that first Sunday of Advent, our gospel reading comes from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9. So if you're able, I'd ask you to stand again one more time for the hearing of God's word, and we'll read from Matthew 21 in Jesus' holy name. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied to a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, sanctify us by that truth. God, as we look today at your word, I pray that you would show us our sins and our need for a Savior and point us to the finished work of Jesus. I pray in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it feels like it was already a month or two ago, but it was just last weekend that we were away for Thanksgiving, right, Gretchen? It does feel like it's been a month, though. I'm not sure why. But last weekend, I was blessed to be able to take my family and hop in the car and drive to Fargo to celebrate Thanksgiving with my parents. And I was even more blessed the next day because my sister, who I rarely get to see anymore, and my new little niece, Harper, showed up to spend the time of Christmas with us. It was a great time being out in Fargo. We had a feast of turkey and all of the fixins for Thanksgiving. It was wonderful. I love getting away and being able to celebrate Thanksgiving with my family because it's a good time to just kick your feet up and relax, take a few moments and remember everything that God has blessed you with, and then be able to give thanks for it with some people that you love. But it seems like every time I celebrate Thanksgiving, I end up thinking to myself, how many more years is Thanksgiving going to be a thing that we celebrate? How many more years are we going to continue to celebrate Thanksgiving in this country? And I think this because of Black Friday. It used to be that stores would open up Friday morning early and have doorbuster deals. You could enjoy Thanksgiving with your family, eat your turkey, go into your tryptophan coma, wake up, eat some more turkey, sleep for the night, and then go shopping if you wanted, but you didn't have to. And then at some point, those doorbuster deals started happening at midnight on Thanksgiving, which I guess is technically still Black Friday, I suppose. First stores I remember doing this was when I lived in the cities. It was the outlet malls in Albertville opened at midnight, and I thought, the outlet malls are crazy, and anyone who shows up is crazy, and this is dumb, and it's going to last a year. And I was wrong, because just about every store now is not waiting till 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. They're opening up at midnight or even earlier. See, as this trend continued, more and more stores opened at midnight, and then they started opening at 10 and at 8 and at 7 and at 6 and at 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving. And 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving isn't even enough time to sleep off the tryptophan from the turkey. You can't even enjoy your meal and take a nap before you go shopping. It's destroying Thanksgiving with your family. And you know, in recent years, the online retailers, they've been having Black Friday week or pre-Black Friday deals. I'm pretty sure that in a few years, stores are going to start opening up at 5 or 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving, and there are going to be deals to be had all day long, and we're just going to start calling it Black Thursday, and it won't be Thanksgiving anymore. When that day comes, it's just going to be the quote-unquote traditional old people who can't get with the program that are gathering together to celebrate Thanksgiving and God's blessings while the rest of the country is trampling each other to save $20 on the newest iPad. I hope this day never comes. I really hope I'm wrong about Thanksgiving coming to an end. Because Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to remember what God has done for you, and then to give him thanks for every blessing you receive. But you know what? Times change, and sometimes things get lost. So only time will tell what happens with Thanksgiving. As time has passed, the church has lost one of its seasons for the most part. This lost season is the season we're now in, the season of Advent. You see, as soon as Thanksgiving is over, or Black Thursday, whatever you want to call it, we start to celebrate Christmas, don't we? The lights go up on the tree, the presents get wrapped, we start playing Christmas music, except for Gretchen. She started in July. You see, everything from Thanksgiving to December 25th is a mad dash of running to make sure that Christmas is successful. And because of that, we see this whole season of Advent as an extension of Christmas. But it really isn't an extension of Christmas. See, Christmas is a time of pure joy. It's a time to celebrate that first coming of Jesus Christ, born as the babe in the manger, born to live, suffer, die, and rise again for the sake of the salvation of mankind. And it's also a time to look ahead toward the second coming of Christ. Like we talked about in Sunday school today, that's good news because God wins at the end. What's going to happen beforehand? It might be a little confusing, but we're sure God wins. And so looking ahead toward the second coming is a thing of joy for Christians. But the season of Advent is supposed to be something different. The season of Advent is actually supposed to be closer to Lent than it is to Christmas. It's supposed to be a time of preparation, a time of repenting of our sins, but also a time of expectation, knowing that Christ is coming. You see, if by December 25th, you're sick of Christmas and you want it all to just be over, it's because you're doing Advent wrong. It's because you've lost this season of preparation and repentance. You see, Advent isn't a time for rushing around and shopping. Instead, it's a time where we should be longing for the coming of Christ and also remembering why he had to come. You see, he had to come because we are sinners. We have broken God's law in thought and in word and in deed by what we have done and by the good we have left undone. It's because of our sin that God had to put on flesh to redeem mankind. So this season of Advent is also a season where we need to be honest about our sinfulness and repent. You see, our sermon text seems a little bit strange for the start of a church season where we're thinking about the coming of Christ born in Bethlehem and thinking about our sin, which is the reason why he came. I don't know about you, but if I was in charge of writing a lectionary, I probably wouldn't have chosen it. I would have chosen texts like the birth of John the Baptist or the angel Gabriel coming to tell Mary she was going to give birth. But instead, today we have the triumphal entry. Our Palm Sunday text, the text that gets us into Holy Week. And next week, it's going to be a text about the return of Christ. And the week after that, it's going to be a text about Jesus having conflict with the Pharisees. These passages, they seem strange. They might not be what you or I have picked, but the people who put the lectionaries together, they've done us a gift. Because they knew something that probably I didn't realize. You see, they knew that if all we heard about in this Advent season was the coming of Christ, born as a baby and put in a manger, that we'd be tempted to leave Jesus there. that we'd be tempted to just leave him as the babe in Bethlehem. We'd rejoice in his birth, of course, but we'd forget about the reason he came. We'd forget why it was so important that God had to put on flesh to dwell among men. See, our sermon text today, it reminds us of the reason that Jesus came. The triumphal entry was the last time Jesus rode in to Jerusalem. And he was riding into Jerusalem for one purpose and one purpose alone, to lay down his life for the sake of mankind and then rise again on the third day. You see, when Jesus came as that babe in Bethlehem, he came with an important purpose. His purpose was to do everything necessary to redeem mankind. So we should rejoice. We should rejoice that Jesus came to earn salvation and forgiveness and eternal life for us. But that coming, it isn't enough. You see, the fact that Jesus came and put on flesh and he lived and he suffered and he died and he rose again, that does us no good unless Jesus continues to come to us today. So thankfully, Jesus didn't just live and die and rise and leave us forever, but he continues to come to us through word and sacrament to deliver everything that his perfect life and his sacrificial death earned. Martin Luther said it this way in his large catechism: neither you nor I could ever know anything about Christ or believe on him and have him as our Lord unless it were offered to us and granted to our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. The work of redemption is done and accomplished. Christ has acquired and gained the treasure for us by his suffering, death, resurrection, and so on. But if the work remained concealed so that no one knew about it, it would be useless and lost. So that this treasure might not stay buried but be received and enjoyed, God has caused his word to go forth and to be proclaimed. In the word, he has the Holy Spirit bring this treasure home and make it our own. Therefore, sanctifying is just bringing us to Christ so that we can receive this good, which we cannot get by ourselves. See, it was absolutely essential that Jesus would come and earn for us salvation. Without that, we would be lost forever, but it's equally important that he still continues to come and to deliver that forgiveness that he won. And he does so as the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel, as he enlightens us with his gifts, as he sanctifies us and keeps us in that one true faith. See, Jesus comes to us as the Holy Spirit proclaims him through the gospel. When you hear the word preached or read, or you read it yourself, or when you feel the very wet words of baptism, or when you eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ at the Lord's table. You see, these are the ways that God comes and delivers Jesus to us. These are the ways in which Jesus continues to come to us today. So the benefits that Jesus earned when he came, he now delivers by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because of everything Jesus accomplished, we now have salvation. First, because he came as that babe in Bethlehem but didn't stay in the manger. He lived the life we couldn't live and died the death that each of us deserved for our sins. But we also have salvation because Jesus didn't stop coming. We have salvation because he is delivered to us by the Holy Spirit through his gospel. He did come. He is coming, and he has promised to come again. He has promised that on that last day, he will raise the dead and reunite body and soul with him in eternity. On that last day, he will come, and the situation will be the same as always. He'll bring peace for some and condemnation for others. In order to be ready for that day, Jesus invites us to listen to his words from Mark chapter 1. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What Jesus says there in Mark 1:15 is really what Advent is all about. It's a season of repentance and a season of belief. Not just knowing that you're a sinner, but trusting that the sacrifice of Christ is enough for you. Just as the season of Lent is a season of repentance and belief for us to get ready for Good Friday and for Easter, so too Advent is a season of repentance and belief to prepare us for the coming of Jesus, not just as he came at Christmas, but as he comes now through word and sacrament, and as he comes at the end of time to raise us from the dead. May the Holy Spirit keep us in that one true faith so that we can rejoice in the Lord who came at Christmas, the Lord who comes in word and sacrament, and the Lord who will come to raise the dead. May he also lead us in a life of repentance and faith so that when he comes, his coming will be peaceful for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for this triumphal entry passage where you rode into Jerusalem to lay down your life. God, that is the purpose. That is the purpose of sending Jesus, that he might redeem mankind. Lord, in this Advent season, allow us to see our sin where we have fallen short of your glory, to confess it freely, and to turn from it, trusting only in the finished work of your Son. God, by your gospel, strengthen us to do good works. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.